Thank you, Joe, and good morning. By way of explanation, our lesson in both of our services this morning is going to be a little bit different. It is intended to be both a meditation upon God's Word. It is intended to be something whereby we contemplate the Word of God. And it is intended as an effort to allow God's Word to speak for itself. So if you have any questions about the way that we are doing both of the lessons this morning, please understand that is my intent this morning. We're going to look at creation beyond simply Genesis 1. We will look throughout Genesis 1 in our study, but we begin with the text that Lance read for us a few moments ago, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. It is clear from this passage that creation came about not from things that already existed. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are were not made, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, the last part of the verse. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. It is significant to recognize that in these accounts, it records for us the fact that God made all things with the exception of himself. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 10, the beginning part of the verse, says simply, "The great God who formed everything." In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, the declaration is made, "You are worthy, O God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." As Christians, we come to understand from the New Testament that God, the God of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus, who was God in the flesh, was a part of this creation. And the New Testament will indicate to us that he created all things as well, with God the Father, with God the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. It is not that there are other beings that have always existed. God alone is the source of the creation of all things. John chapter 1 and verse 10 tells us he, speaking of Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. One final aspect that we understand from this pivotal passage in Genesis 1 and verse 1 that starts us in our understanding of God and our relationship with him is the fact that God did not do this through some type of mechanical process or chemical kind of concoction. God is of such power that God simply spoke all things into existence. Hebrews chapter 11, the first part of verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. In Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them. By the breath of his mouth he gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. From this text, it becomes clear, although it's hard for us to conceive of light without stars and a sun, yet at this point in creation, the text tells us that God created light. And this is reflected elsewhere in Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. In the book of Job, we have several statements that are made about creation. Many of them come at the end of the book or later in the book when God will declare things about himself to Job. We notice, however, here in Job 38, verses 19 through 21, where God is acknowledged as knowing the dwelling place of light. Where is the way to the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place, that you may take it to its territory, that you may know the paths to its home? Do you know it because you were born then, or because your number of years is great? In Isaiah chapter 45, the first part of verse 7, God simply acknowledges, "I form the light and create darkness." What a profound thought that is, that the very things that we take for granted, the fact that we can see and acknowledge a world around us through vision, is because of God's creation of light. But we'll notice throughout these 6 days of creation, the continual statement, "There was evening and there was morning," and it is God who created morning and evening. In Job 38, now in verse 12, God asks, "Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place?" Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning or the second day. It is clear that God made heaven and earth. As we notice in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, this recollection, this reference back to waters that again is hard for us to understand. We think of waters in the confined sense that we now experience them. But in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, "By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water." In Psalm 136, verses 2 through 6, "I'll give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. I'll give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever." Psalm 33 and verse 6, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Job 26, first part of verse 13, "By his spirit he adorned the heavens." Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Continuing in Genesis, Genesis 1, verses 9 through 13. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. From this passage, we learn several things. First, we note that not only is it that God made the heaven and the earth and divided the waters in that way, but here as well, it is God that made the earth and set the seas in their proper place. Job 26 and verse 7 acknowledges this in telling us that it's not that God put the earth, as some false religions have imagined, on the back of a giant turtle or on some other kind of mythical thing like that. He stretches out the earth over empty spaces. He hangs the earth on nothing. Job, once again, in Job 38, verses 4 through 7, God asks, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Psalm 14, or 146, verses 5 through 6. "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever." But this verse also reflects the fact that it is God who made plant life upon the earth. And we understand from this passage such things. And it reminds us of our Lord's statements that should lead us to recognize that if God made such things and cares for such things, Jesus calls upon us to recognize in Matthew chapter 6, verses 28 through 30. "So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" What becomes clear from these passages is not that things came about by accident, not that we live in a world of chance and chaos, but rather we have been created. There is a creator who made us. And I call to your attention a text as we end this part of our study in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14, where Peter says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God, commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." In our next service, we will continue the last parts of the days of creation, and we'll continue to meditate upon what we may learn in Genesis and beyond. But as we end our lesson this morning, I ask you to consider, are you committing your soul to a faithful creator? Have you been obedient to Jesus
as the Son of God, putting your faith in Him, would you not have the courage to confess faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of sin that separates you from God, and be baptized into Christ as you commit your soul to a faithful Creator? If we can help you, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.